This morning we begin a series of messages. It may or may not be a year-long one. Probably it's going to be pretty close. In some ways, it's really going to be no different than the past couple of years. It's going to be called different. It's going to look a little different. But still in the end, it's going to be a series of messages through God's Word. Remember, we did that in 24. We read through the Bible together. And then on our Sundays, we heard a message together from something we had read together that week. Called different, going to look a bit different. But still in the end, it's going to be a series of messages on the truth. Of course it is. Every time we open God's Word, after all, every time we preach and teach God's Word, it's the truth. That's what we're going to do throughout the year. And we're going to do that very specifically in the context of sort of reestablishing, if you will, or establishing again, maybe establishing more firmly in our hearts and our lives the truth of Christianity. Amen. I believe it. I feel very strongly about it. Would even identify as sort of the motive for this series of messages, if you will, two things. First, this: true Christianity has been severely compromised. In fact, probably the better way to say it, true Christianity has been replaced altogether with something that is not true at all. In our culture, listen, seeping into our churches, infiltrating our pulpits, a Christianity that is no Christianity at all. It's the fake, it's the false, it's a lie, masquerading as the truth. I think all of us would recognize this to be true. The genuineness of something deemed, something regarded as valuable, that's affirmed or that's verified through a process of examination or testing. We don't just go around saying this is valuable or that's valuable, this costs a lot, the price tag on this. We have to evaluate, right? We have to examine that thing. We have to put it to the test, if you will, to see how valuable, in fact, it actually is. My first thought related to that is with a diamond or really any precious stone, the jeweler has that little small, powerful sort of magnifying glass, right, that they put to their eye. And they do what? They examine that diamond. They measure the color and the clarity. They look for any. They look for every flaw, no matter how minuscule it may be. And the value of that diamond is based on their examination, right? After thinking of that related to diamonds, I thought of gold. At least in all the old westerns, gold was tested by one's teeth. Gold is a softer metal. If you bit it and there were teeth marks left behind, that gold was solid gold for sure, or so would say the gold rush prospectors. It passed the test. The very scientific and no doubt always accurate teeth biting test. I don't know how long it's been since you've purchased the vehicle. That's something of value, right? So likely before you bought it, you verified its value. How so? You took it for a test drive. You looked under the hood. You kicked the tires. There was the examination and the testing to affirm its value. How about even this? One's work, one's title. That's valuable. With so many professions, that has to be subjected. That has to be verified through testing. The lawyer has to pass the bar exam. The police had to pass the physical testing, the written exam. The nurse, the doctor had to pass the medical exam. The mechanic had to pass the automotive exam to get their certificate, to be able to hang it on the wall, to have the title, to work the job. There was a process of examination and testing. Even spiritually, you've maybe heard this. I'm not sure who gets official credit for saying it first, but the quote is this: a faith that hasn't been tested can't be trusted. Its value hasn't been verified. In a sense, then no one knows its value. Really, then it sort of has no value, at least no value that can be trusted. Listen, you understand this. Not everything that looks like a diamond has the value of a real diamond. It has to be tested. Not everything that looks like gold is real gold. It has to be tested. Some things have the appearance of value, but by way of the examination and the testing, they're proved to be fake, not real, no value at all. Anything that is in and of itself something of value, really anything that's of any value, is subjected to testing and to examination to affirm its true worth. That's true. And so vitally important. Listen now, because the fake and the false is real, and so is the deception. The jeweler that wants to sell you the fake diamond at real diamond cost. The dealer that wants you paying the price for real gold while in return giving you nothing more than fool's gold. The salesman that wants to convince you that the piece of junk car is really a Cadillac and such a great deal for you at just under Cadillac cost. In fact, listen now, the real message this morning, never mind them. Listen, forget them. Because they pale in comparison to the devil. Listen, who wants you believing in a Christianity that in fact does not pass the test. Not the test of God's word, not the test of truth. The devil who wants you believing in a Christianity that is in fact no Christianity at all. We know this certainly to be true. Satan is the enemy of God. Obviously, he is. And so often his work in opposing God is to counterfeit what God does. We know this, especially related to the end. It's very clearly revealed to us related to the end. God has his Christ, and in the end, we know it, Satan will have his Antichrist, the counterfeit. Christ came and ministered in power, performing miracles. Listen, the counterfeit, Satan's Antichrist will do the same. Christ died and was raised again to life. It's near unbelievable. But according to Revelation 13, the counterfeit, Satan's Antichrist will seem to do the same. Everything that God does, everything that God wants to do, Satan works to oppose it by counterfeiting it. He lies. He offers the fake and the false. And he deceives. He tricks people into buying his counterfeit, believing it has the value of the real and the true, but it doesn't. Listen, here it is. Satan works to make people to think they're right with God. He works to make people think they are Christians when in fact they are not. They have the fake and the false, but they don't have the real. Not the real that does make them right with God. Not the real, not the true Christianity. It's an interesting thing to think of. Satan doesn't necessarily just want people hating God. That's what we so often think of as his tactic. his fight with God, his fight against God. He wants to turn as many people away from God as possible. And clearly he does do that, working to make people hate God, working to make people to be angry with God, working to make people come to a place denying God's very existence, working to make people to be on his side instead of God's side, make people to walk away, make people to turn away from God. Can I just pause for a moment? If you sense that in your own life, be careful, my friend. If you sense an anger towards God, if you sense a hatred towards God, if you sense a drifting away, turning your back on God, don't want to believe in Him, don't want to believe that He is good, don't want to believe that He is the Creator, don't want to believe that He would be your Savior, I have to caution you this morning, just the truth. The devil is doing his work in you. Be careful, my friend. Don't let the devil do that work in you. Stand against that work. He does do all that, but not just that. Maybe, in fact, his greatest work, even his greatest work of deception, convincing people that the counterfeit, the fake and the false, is the real and the true. Convincing people that they're in a right relationship with God when in fact they're not. Convincing people that their eternity in heaven is secure when it's not. It's the most frightening deception, the most terrifying, upsetting, and worrisome delusion imaginable. And this is the thing I believe. It's running rampant through our culture. Christianity, true Christianity, what Christianity really is and is supposed to be, true Christianity that makes people to be right with God, that prepares them for an eternity to be spent in heaven with God, that Christianity, true Christianity, is being replaced with the devil's counterfeit, the fake and the false, what is in fact no Christianity at all. Listen to what this looks like. How this ultimately plays out. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 22. Many will say to me on that day. You caught it. You heard it. Not a few. Not a small minority of people. No. Many. Think the fake and the false, the devil's lie, his deception, his counterfeit. Think it to be a fringe kind of thing. The Bible says it's not. On the day of judgment, it won't be just a few. Rather, instead, it will be many. Many that will be trusting in a Christianity that didn't, that doesn't, that won't pass the test. Many will have been deceived by the devil's counterfeit. They won't hate God. They won't be against God. They will be deceived, thinking they had a relationship with God when, in fact, they never did. Many that will have forsaken the true for the fake and the false. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Again, you caught it. You heard it. Not a few, many. And not many that are altogether pagan and wicked and vile and wretched and sinful. No. Many that will call him Lord. Many that will have prophesied in his name. Many that will have cast out devils, performed miracles. Can I say it this way as a challenge to all of us? This description of judgment day given by Jesus. It's not about the many out there living in the world and in worldly ways. It's about the many that would be in here. In here on a Sunday morning. Listen, in this church or in another church like it. Do you understand? Listen, the warning against trusting in a Christianity that doesn't pass the test. The warning against the devil's counterfeit, his lie and deception. The warning against forsaking the true for the fake and the false. Listen, New Life. You in here this morning, the message is as much for you and your pastor maybe even more so for you and your pastor as it is for anyone not in here this morning. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Listen, away from me, you evildoers. Do you see? It doesn't pass the test. It's the fake. It's the false. It's not the true. And because it is, it doesn't make people to be right with God. It casts them out of His eternal presence, doesn't bring them into it. It's a lie. It's the counterfeit. It's the most frightening deception, the most terrifying, upsetting, and worrisome delusion imaginable. It's the Christianity that is, in fact, no Christianity at all. True Christianity has been severely compromised. And it's jeopardizing the eternity of many. The question then becomes, what do we do to ensure that we don't fall prey to that? What do we do to guard against the devil's deception? What do we do to protect ourselves from the devil's counterfeit? Well, we do what's done with anything else of value. We affirm, we verify the genuineness of it, the real or the fake. We verify that through the process of examination and testing. And Scripture is very clear, abundantly clear, that we are to do that. Psalm 139 and verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. In Lamentations 3 and verse 40, let us examine our ways and test them. Let us return to the Lord. In Haggai chapter 1 and verse 6, you've planted much, but you've harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. Something's amiss. Something's not right. There's no value in what should be producing value. The Lord's instruction, this is what the Lord says. Give careful thought to your ways. Put it all under examination. Take the test. In Galatians 6 and verse 3, if anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. One translation says to examine. Another says to prove. In connections with the Lord's table, we read this, 1 Corinthians 11. You should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. In Hebrews 4, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. In other words, make a careful consideration of your life. The New Living Translation includes that we do that in fear and trembling, lest we've been brought to the very edge of salvation, as it were, only to have fallen short and ultimately failed to have participated in it. In the end, simply put, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. Again, I believe it. The motive in part for this series of messages, true Christianity, has been severely compromised in our culture today. And so this is what we're going to do. On the authority of God's word, on the basis of the truth that is God's word, we're going to put our Christianity to the test. We're going to discover, according to God's word, according to the truth, we're going to discover what makes it the real and the true. Along the way, we're going to identify some things. We're going to confront some things that reveal a fake and false Christianity. That really leads to this, that in fact is the second thing. I believe it. I feel very strongly about it. Would even identify these two things as the motive for the series of messages. Christianity has been severely compromised, it surely has. And so then, the real and the true must be identified. again. That's what we're going to do over these next few weeks, so that we can take hold of those things again, ensuring that we've not bought in to some counterfeit. With that as well, the fake and the false must be confronted, is going to be confronted, so we can let go of those things, so that we can rid our lives of those things. Again, ensuring that our Christianity is not fake, it's not the false, it's the real and it's the true. Can I tell you that this morning, this is where the fight really is. The compromise of Christianity, it's this. It's a Christianity that claims that evil is good. That's the compromise Christianity. The compromise Christianity, the Christianity that claims good is in fact evil. And listen, when we begin to stand and say, not so, the evil is in fact the evil, and the good, only the good, is in fact the good. When we begin to speak that kind of Christianity, when we begin to stand in that kind of Christianity, live in that kind of Christianity, true Christianity, listen, when we do that, it'll create some conflict. It'll stir up some battles. Listen, over these next bunch of Sundays, important that you know, I'm not looking to pick a fight with you. I'm not being mean. I'm not angry with you. I don't want you angry with me. That being said, if there's the fake and the false, the counterfeit that you've bought into, that's going to be confronted. We're going to draw some battle lines in this place. Do you understand? If and or when that happens, listen, don't be upset. Don't be angry. Don't fight. Listen, recognize the fake and the false. That's the devil's work. It's the lie. It's the counterfeit. It's the claim to Christianity that is no Christianity at all. For the sake of His Word, for the sake of the truth, for the sake of your salvation, for the sake of your eternity, let go of those things. Let go of the compromised Christianity and embrace the truth. I believe it. Christianity is under attack. Better to say, true Christianity is under attack. I don't think the counterfeit is. Christianity that is nothing more than just another religion, really nothing more than another man-made religion, nothing more than a sense of spiritualism, that's popular today. To fall in line with that kind of Christianity, everybody is. Everybody does. In Washington, they do. In Hollywood, they do. In Nashville, they do. On Wall Street, they do. Everybody's a Christian if that's Christianity. That's a mainstream thing. Acceptable, commendable, popular. But that's not Christianity. That's the counterfeit. That's the devil's deception. And because it is, it's not under attack. Not at all. True Christianity is. And I believe what we're seeing all around us, it's the attack against true Christianity by the compromise of it. Be careful, my brother. Be careful, my sister. You're looking for the devil to attack you with persecution. You're looking for the devil to attack you with trouble and problems. You're looking for the devil to attack you with discouragement and all the rest that would make his list of armory, if you will. Be careful that you don't miss the devil looking to attack you with the compromise of your Christianity. The drifting away, the moving away from that that is the truth. That's the fight then for us, that we have nothing to do with the fake and the false. That's the fight we're going to fight over these next few Sundays. We're going to identify the fake and the false, and we're going to fight it. We're going to go to battle with it, so that our lives are rid of those things. And instead, we're taking hold of, to never let go of, the truth. In Jeremiah, God's people had rejected God's way. In the context of our message this morning and messages to come, I'll say it this way. In Jeremiah, true Christianity has been replaced with the counterfeit, the lie, the fake, the false. What it was to truly be God's people, to live as God's people, it had all been lost, replaced with things that had nothing to do with God, that were in fact in complete opposition to God. And for that, judgment was coming, punishment. According to the Living Bible, Jeremiah 6 and verse 19, the Lord's word, I will bring evil upon this people. It will be the fruit of their own sin because they will not listen to me. But before that, an opportunity to repent. Verse 16, this is what the Lord says. Listen, New Life, this is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Take the examination. Take the test. Listen. Ask for the ancient paths. Listen, New Life. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. Can I put it to you that way this morning? That's what we're going to do for a good number of Sundays to come. We're going to turn to God's word. We're going to look there for the ancient paths, the truth there that is the good way, the right way. We're going to do that so that we might walk in all that, so that we might live in and out a true Christianity. In aviation, there's a principle. It's known as the 1 in 60 rule. For every 1 degree you stray off course, you'll be a mile off target after traveling 60 miles. Just 1 degree. Fly from JFK in New York to LAX in Los Angeles, your instruments just 1 degree off, you'll end up some 40 miles out in the Pacific Ocean. There's a story told of a pilot in World War II. They didn't recalibrate his plane's instrument panel from his previous flight, so he took off and lost his plane and nearly his life in the middle of the Pacific. Listen, it's a dangerous thing in life, an even more dangerous thing spiritually. Listen, my brother, my sister, we can't let the instruments be off. Not even by 1 degree. We'll drift if we do. And if we drift, we jeopardize everything. Most importantly, our very eternity. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. Amen. Listen, do you understand? We cannot, we dare not drift from the true Christianity. And over these next few Sundays, where some drifting is realized, where some drifting is maybe identified in our lives. Listen, my brother, my sister, hear the instruction before we even begin. Hear the word of the Lord this morning. Stop the drift. That's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to strive to do. That's going to be at the heart of each and every message over these next Sundays. My brother, my sister, if there's drifting identified in your life, you've drifted from the ancient path. You drifted from what is right and true. You've drifted off by the 1 degree, the 2 or 3, whatever it is. Stop the drift. That's what we're going to do in this series. We're going to turn to God's word. We're going to let the truth there do its recalibration work on us so that there is no off. Not by a single degree even. We're going to do that so that nothing is lost, so that we're not 40 miles off course having to ditch our plane in the ocean. We're going to turn to God's word, open our ears and our hearts and our lives to his word, the truth. We're going to let his word reveal to us where the drifting has happened. We're going to let it stop the drift. We're going to let it correct the drift. We're going to let it bring us back on target. We're going to do that so that we might live in and live out a true Christianity. There's another term that is quite common today. You'll know it. It's a biblical worldview. A worldview, as one defines it, is simply the lens through which one sees and defines life. And to do that through the Bible, thus the biblical worldview, isn't that true Christianity? Consider it from a negative perspective, to have a worldview that doesn't begin with the Bible, that doesn't depend on the Bible, that doesn't always start its belief, its interpretation of life, its assessment of life, that doesn't start at all with the Bible says. To have a worldview that doesn't include God, that doesn't include the biblical revelation of God, that's in part the compromise today, isn't it? Everybody's making their own God. Never mind what the Bible says. Never mind what the Bible reveals, who he is, what he does, what he approves of, what he disapproves of. Never mind all that. We're instead making up our own God that, interestingly enough, always seems to completely agree with us. Wow, wouldn't you know? Whatever I want to do, that's what my God wants me to do. Whatever I want to say, it's okay. That's what he says is okay. You understand, again, it's from the negative sort of perspective, the worldview that pushes God out like that, that compromises who God is and what God does. That's not a biblical worldview. And though people who hold to that may claim themselves to be Christians, it's a lie. It's the fake and the false. It's the counterfeit. It's not the true Christianity. In so many ways, this is where the severely compromised Christianity reveals itself. I heard the story of one pastor had a family member who had made a sexual orientation decision against the Word of God. A family member's choice, their disobedience to God, His Word, His way, their walking away from God, their forsaking of their salvation. And the pastor couldn't reconcile that with that family member now in danger of an eternal hell. And so, the answer to his dilemma? Never mind the Bible. Never mind God's Word. Never mind the truth. The answer? I'll begin to believe and preach that there is no hell. Everyone, including my family member, eventually ends up in heaven. Do you understand? Do you see the compromise? Listen to this. A number of years ago, a survey was done on this idea of biblical worldview. For the purposes of the research, a biblical worldview was defined as believing that absolute moral truth exists, that such truth is defined by the Bible, and firm belief then in six specific religious views. Those views were that Jesus Christ lived a sinless life, God is the all-powerful and all-knowing creator of the universe, and he still rules it today. Salvation is a gift from God that cannot be earned. Satan is real. A Christian has a responsibility to share their faith in Christ with other people, and the Bible is accurate in all its teachings. Do you understand just that? A survey to decide who has a biblical worldview, just based on those things. Absolute moral truths exist, defined by the Bible. Jesus lived a sinless life. God's the creator. Salvation is a gift. It's by faith alone, through grace. Satan is real. We need to tell people about Jesus, and the Bible is true and right in all its teachings. Just that. The survey discovered that despite the numerous Americans that would claim themselves to be Christian, only 4% said yes to all those things. Only 4% have a biblical worldview. Listen, as if that weren't bad enough in the context of the country, it's worse in the context of the church. Only 9%. He didn't, I'm going to put quotations around. Only 9% of born again Christians have such a perspective on life. Only 9%. The survey discovered that the numbers were even lower among other religious classifications. So if you went deeper than just born-again Christian, Protestants, only 7%. Adults who attend mainline Protestant churches, only 2%. Catholics, less than 0.5%. The denomination that produced the highest proportions, the highest proportion of adults with a biblical worldview, yes, absolute truth in the Bible. Yes, Jesus lived a sinless life. God is the creator. Salvation a gift. Satan real. Yes, we need to tell people about Jesus. Yes, the Bible is right and true in all its teachings. The highest proportion of adults that said yes, a biblical worldview, true Christianity. Thank goodness for the high results. Non-denominational Protestant churches were the highest at 13%. That's it. Pentecostal churches, New Life, that's us. 10%. What's happened to us? 10%. Baptist churches, only 8%. As if that weren't enough, it gets worse. You think it can't, but it does. Only 47% of pastors have a biblical worldview regarding family and the value of life. Only 44% concerning issues related to God, creation, and history. Only 43% in relationship to personal faith practices. Only 40% pertaining to human character and human nature. Only 40% when it comes to measures of lifestyle, personal behavior, personal relationships. The more general conclusion among senior pastors, 41% have an overall biblical worldview. Only 28% of associate pastors, only 13% of teaching pastors, and for children and youth, only 12%. The author of the survey ended up summing it all up this way: the world is now influencing the church more than the church is influencing the world. In our context, Christianity is being defined more now by what the world says than by what God says. Do you understand? Do you recognize the compromised Christianity? Do you see? The instrument panel needs recalibrating. It does, doesn't it? One degree off would be enough to ruin us, and we're thousands off. Do you sense the need? Surely you do. We need to look for again. We need to walk in again the ancient paths. The truth there that is the good way. A biblical worldview, true Christianity, so simply defined. No matter the people group, no matter the denomination, no matter one's role in it, we couldn't even get to 50% in anything. Do you understand? Listen, 50% in school, that's a failing grade. Do you see the compromised Christianity? It's not passing the test. And no wonder it's not. It's the fake and the false. It's the counterfeit. It's the lie. Do you know what we're seeing? The truth of Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 7. According to this, all but 7% of Protestants that are going to stand before him one day saying, "Lord, Lord." All but 2% of mainline Protestant churches. All but 13% of non-denominational Protestant. All but 10% of Pentecostal churches. All but 8% of Baptist churches. Listen, all but 41% of pastors are going to stand before the Lord saying, "Lord, Lord," only to hear him say, "But I don't know you." Do you understand the compromised Christianity? Our series in the end, the foundational things, the biblical worldview, the true Christianity, the basics of Christianity. I think, in fact, that's how we're going to title the series. We're going to call it Christianity 101. Amen. All that, back to the beginning again. After everything is said and done, what we'll discover, it's simply the Word of God. Amen. And no wonder it is. Listen. That's the ancient path. That's the good. That's the right way. That's right. That's the foundation. The biblical worldview. Of course, the biblical worldview. This is true Christianity. It's simply this, the truth. What the Bible says. Exactly. What God says. Do you understand? Listen, I'm not being mean. I'm not trying to pick a fight. But if your Christianity isn't what the Bible says, isn't what God says, it's no Christianity at all. You're right. You've been deceived. Don't be deceived anymore. Listen, the devil has lied to you, sold you the fake and the false, the counterfeit. But know this today, God offers you this morning the true and the real. That's this morning, that's the messages to come, so that we might stand before Him one day and not hear, "Depart from me," but rather instead, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We confront the compromised. We have no part in it. We examine ourselves. We take the test. We stand at the crossroads. We look for the ancient path, the good and right way. We do some recalibrating. We stop the drifting. We return to His words and His word. What God says, what the Bible says, we ensure that according to that, ours is the true Christianity. Father, I pray this morning, just the introduction. We haven't even begun. Just the introduction. Yet, Lord, I know You know. I've sensed it in my own heart. The great fear of buying the counterfeit, believing the fake and the false. Lord, You know it in my own life. The unsettling anxiousness and worry. Not doubting You, Jesus. Not doubting what You've done. Not doubting, not diminishing what You accomplished for me at Calvary's cross. Not that. But my not taking hold of that properly. My not living in that as I should. You know it. The great fear in my heart to stand before You on judgment day and hear from You words spoken to me, "I don't know You. I don't know You." Jesus, You know my heart this morning. I don't want that. No one in this room wants that. You know my heart for this people. You know it as pastor of this people. It's my great fear as pastor of this church that there would be people from this place that would stand before You on that judgment day when it's too late to fix anything, when it's too late to make any changes. Nothing can be done, not on that day. People from this place that stand before You and hear, "But I don't know You." What a failure I would and would eternally be. What a failure as a pastor if that were to happen. I don't want that to happen. Not for me. I don't want it to happen for Jenny. I don't want it to happen for my kids. All they've ever known is the church. All they have ever known is Christianity. All they've ever known is the Word. I don't want them to drift. I don't want the instrument panel to be off. I don't want them to buy into some counterfeit that the devil, the lies, the deception that the devil would present to them. I want them holding to the truth. I want them to stand before You one day and hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I want that for this people. And so, Lord, there's a whole series of messages to come. But I pray that You would speak to our hearts this morning, and this word that we hear today would take root in our hearts and in our lives. Draw us to You, Jesus. Turn us to You, Jesus. We look for the ancient path. Set us on it, we pray this morning, Lord. We stop the drift. Help us by the power of Your Spirit. We stop the drift this morning, Jesus. We turn to You. We look to You. We want to live in the truth of Christianity. We want to hold to that. Help us, Jesus. Help my brother, my sister this morning that understands there's a Christianity, or so they would say, but it's a Christianity they've defined. It's a Christianity that this culture has defined. It's a Christianity that's counterfeit. It's a lie. Lord, would you speak to their heart this morning? We turn to you, Jesus. We turn to you, Jesus. Would you just take a moment? Would you respond to the word? I'm going to pray the blessing of the Lord over you in just a minute. But before we go, would you just take a moment to respond to Jesus? Let him speak to your heart. Let him confront, even at the outset of this series of messages, let him confront some fake and some false in you, some drifting. Maybe there's a sense where you hear from the word of the Lord this morning, but what does the Bible say? The Lord's asking you about that. You believe in this. You've patterned your life after that. You've decided that this is okay, but what does the Bible say? The Lord asks you this morning, do you even know what my word says? Do you even know where the truth is to be found in that thing that you've let settle in your life and that thing that you've decided to believe in? Do you know what the Bible says? Do you know what the truth is? Maybe there's a sense where the Lord is prompting you. There's some research to be done. There's some searching of scriptures that you're going to be needing to do this week. Would you just let the Lord speak to you this morning? Let the Lord speak to your heart. Jesus, draw us into the truth, I pray. No more compromise. Draw us into the truth. Draw us into the truth, Jesus. Lord, that's what we ask you for this morning. We'll say it this way. Let the counterfeit, let the compromise, let the fake and the false, let the lie, let it all grow strangely dim as we set our hearts on the truth, on your word, on you, Jesus. Help us this morning, these weeks to come, I pray. In Jesus' name, would you stand to your feet? Would you lift your hands to receive the blessing of the Lord this morning as we prepare to go? As under shepherd, the great shepherd, as high priest assembly, I declare over you the word and the will of the Lord that you as people, you would leave this place blessed. You would go into the remainder of this day and this week blessed of the Lord. Blessed of the Lord, my brother, my sister. Listen now, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be good and gracious to you. The Lord turn to you and give to you his peace. In Jesus' name, would you receive that blessing? Would you say amen? Amen and amen. God bless you this morning.